Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and it's a joy and a privilege to be able to share the word of the Lord with you again. Where, if you're a new listener, welcome. We're heard on this station Monday through Friday at the same time. And I've been ministering on a message entitled, With Jesus in a Storm. And we've been looking at the Gospel of Mark, which describes an event in the life of Jesus and his disciples where he'd been teaching all day. And he says, let's go to the other side, a little quieter area where they could get some rest. And he was exhausted from the day's teaching. It had been a full day. And he fell asleep in the stern of the boat, and a great storm arose. And we can find in this simple gospel story some great lessons for us in terms of the storms of life that we face. But before we go on, let me just share some interesting facts about that lake, the Lake of Galilee. It's the world's lowest freshwater lake, with a surface some 680 feet below sea level and a maximum depth of 150 feet. The size is 13 by 7 miles. It's not a huge lake, and it has an approximate area of 90 square miles. However, it is a rich fishing lake, and it is the scene of much of the gospel narrative with Christ's ministry based on towns, especially around the north side of the lake. And at least 7 of the disciples were fishermen from the lake. Now, the Sea of Galilee is notorious for sudden storms, which whip the waters into a frenzy very quickly. How should this occur? Why does it occur? Well, the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by high hills and narrow valleys that function as wind tunnels. So a storm in the evening was especially dangerous. And on this particular occasion, the furious waves broke over. They literally kept spilling over into the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Listen to verse 37 as I read it again in Mark. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was now full. Beloved, that was a serious storm. The boat was in danger of capsizing, of sinking. And now, again, as I mentioned in a previous broadcast, we must not be too critical of the disciples because they were experienced fishermen. And in terms of what I just shared with you, this wasn't that big a deal because the Lake of Galilee was frequently subject to very fierce and quick storms. However, this must have been an extremely intense storm. And as I shared again in a previous broadcast, the words that Jesus used in the Greek, it says literally be muzzled, and he, from that, the use of the word implies that he recognized some demonic force behind the intensity of the storm. Which isn't surprising because the devil was always trying to kill Jesus. Remember, as a baby, Herod killed all the innocents, the babes under 2 years old and under. And so he never stopped in his attempts to kill Jesus or the disciples, and that he hasn't changed his modus operandi even today. If he can't kill us, which the hand of God is on us and protects us, yet he will do everything he can to thwart and hinder our forward progress, just as he was doing in this situation. And so we see that the disciples were not overreacting. That had to be some storm. Remember, the disciples were seasoned sailors, and so it had to have been an extraordinary storm for them to lose their nerve. And beloved, sometimes as we walk through our life, even having Jesus with us is no guarantee that we might not at times experience great fear. Let's look at what the Word of God tells us in, and I want to be reading from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Then, verse 18 goes on to say, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment. Other versions say torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Beloved, whenever we're fearful, we can know that that is not God's will for us. The only fear that should be ever present in our lives is the fear or reverential awe of the Lord. What is fear? Well, it's we can all relate to that, but by definition, it's an unpleasant and often very strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That could be on in a physical level, but also anxious concern, solicitude, the things that arise in our lives and we get worried and fearful about, our finances or about loved ones or about whatever it is. It's a very common response. And even anxiety or stress, it's a very subtle form, but it's fear that somehow you're not going to be able to rise up and be in control of whatever that situation is that's confronting you. And so also fear is a profound reverence or awe, especially toward God. And in John, the first John, the second chapter, verse 28 and 29, let me just read that for you in a moment. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For ye know that he is righteous. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So we can trust and rest in the knowledge that as we know him and love him, that we won't have to be ashamed. We won't have to be fearful to stand before the very presence of God. So, beloved, what are the purpose of storms? Well, I would like to suggest in the storms of life, we have a revelation not only of God, not only of what he can do in a personal and practical way to deliver us, to provide for us, or whatever the need might be, but also we have a revelation of ourselves. Are we able to go through the tests and the trials and the storms of life with an assurance and a confidence? Looking back at your own life, can you think of perhaps when you were very young in the Lord and how when you remember the things the Lord brought you through? Can you look at your life now that you have matured, you've grown in him, you've increased in faith, and you don't have that same response? You know that you know that you know God is going to undertake. And so I believe that's the purpose of storms, a revelation of ourselves as well as a revelation of God of how he is going to undertake for us. Now, let's go back to our text. Verse 38 says, and this is referencing Jesus, he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, what was Jesus doing? They were terrified at what was occurring, and he was exhausted from a full day of teaching, and he was sleeping on a sailor's leather rowing cushion provided for the guest of honor and placed at the stern away from the splashing of the waves. But they, however, were in a tremendous state of panic. How could Jesus sleep in such a storm? Well, he was physically exhausted, and he had a human nature, just as we do, but he had a perfect trust in the Father. Now, perhaps right now in your life, you might not be able to relate to that. But, I mean, I recall a friend, Brother Glass's first secretary, she was in the service, and she told me, and I believe her, she said she could actually sleep standing up when she was on duty or you know, there was just such exhaustion, and she was able to do that. To me, that's somewhat remarkable. But I can recall way back my first year in college. And how old was I? Probably 18. I can remember and I had the opportunity to live in a dorm that first year. And I can recall as we got close to finals and there were papers that were due, I can recall there were a bunch of girls in the room and they were talking and I was so tired. I'd been up most of the night studying. I actually fell asleep. So, beloved, you might not be able to relate to this, but you get tired enough, you will be able to fall asleep. And it's interesting to note what woke Jesus. It wasn't the howling of the wind, the crashing of the waves, the tossing of the boat. Can you imagine how they were rocking back and forth? But it was the weak, frail cry of those he loved in distress. And it's the same today, beloved. You might be in a tremendous storm, but Jesus hears your cry, and he is going to undertake. There are two things that happened. The storm arose, verse 37, right? There arose a great storm of wind. And then Jesus arose in verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Beloved, never fail to connect the two. If you're going through a storm right now, or if you wake up tomorrow and there's a full-blown storm that you're in the midst of, if a storm arises, remember, Jesus will arise too. Praise God. Well, my time has again just flown by, and I need to bring this broadcast to a close. But before I do, I want to give a warm invitation to those that are listening. You might have listened for weeks or months, and you've never taken the time to write. But if you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, then I do urge you to obey him, because he has a reason for you writing. There's another ongoing ministry that's a great privilege and one that I take great joy and pleasure in, and that is ministering in prayer and personal correspondence, not only to UCM partners, but those who write in. So I invite you to write whatever the need, and I know as you receive my letter, you'll be blessed. Praise God. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you can be with us tomorrow at the same time. Until then, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.